If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Well, thought we had another one, didn't we?
However, we do not, as it turns out. We got a bulletin about an hour ago that said there was an incident occurring at Andrews Air Force Base right there in Maryland, just outside Washington, D.C.
A military facility that's home to Air Force One.
Exactly, where Air Force One is when the president's on the ground in Washington. And they said that it may be an active shooter situation. Then we waited a little bit and noticed that there weren't too many reports coming in. Then we got this report that says reports of an active shooter at Joint Base Andrews in Maryland are being called unfounded after someone mistook an active shooter drill for the real thing, according to NBC News.
Yeah, USA Today said this.
They were on lockdown, too.
Yeah, was placed on lockdown after a confusing report of an active shooter was phoned in at almost the same moment that the base was preparing to conduct an active shooter training exercise.
Which, of course, made,
Made
them a little suspicious.
Yeah.
Joint Base Andrews said it was conducting an active shooter exercise and that it was at the Malcolm Groh Medical Facility, which is right there on the base.
20 miles from downtown
Washington. And they were actually trying to recreate an active shooter situation so they would show, you know, how they react to one.
Yeah.
And of course,
were unclear.
And of course, I guess the first thing they would do is somebody would dial 911.
I'm looking at a tweet from Joint Base Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
JBA currently on lockdown due to a report of an active shooter. All personnel are directed to shelter in place.
Yeah.
More info as it comes.
And all that means shelter in place is wherever you are. If you're indoors, stay there. If you're outdoors, immediately get indoors.
Yeah. So, unbelievable. All right. But much ado about ado.
But see, they were practicing this in response to, you know, what went on in Turkey. Fort Belvoir in Fairfax County says it increased its security posture. The Washington Navy Yard did the same thing just in case, because they didn't know there was an exercise going on at Andrews either.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff.
But did you know airports nationwide, even though airport security is probably the best it's ever been, a lot of it has been shored up just since last weekend.
Yeah. And it's not only been shored up, it's been moved outside. And they're actually talking, Chris, about having the first security checks basically in the parking lot.
Which would render the building basically useless.
And the parking lot.
But then no bomb could blow up the building. It could still blow up people in the parking lot.
See, now you're attacking this from exactly where I was.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if they blow up a building or not. They're blowing up people.
Right.
If the people aren't in the building, they will be in the parking lot.
Yes, they'll go to where the people were. Each one of those guys who...
Where they can lob stuff out of Piper Cubs.
Each one of those guys who set himself off in Istanbul just before... I mean, they were shooting it out with the police.
Yeah.
And when they figured that, you know, they were toast, each one of them ran toward a crowd of people before setting off their bomb.
Yeah.
With the exception of the guy that was on the floor in the mall.
Yeah, who was... But he still got a few.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there were people just in the nearby store. You know, and you never know how big of a bomb it's going to be. I've seen those. There's a thing about it's Al-Qaeda and ISIS failures.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it probably on YouTube or someplace where they show guys, like one guy was trying to explode a bomb and it fizzled on his shoulder and it looked like it burned the heck out of his shoulder but didn't do anything else.
Yeah.
So it was a badly made bomb.
It's pretty hard
which,
to test
which
those.
Are the best kind.
Yeah. You know, test. I think I'll pull this one and see if it works.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
no.
You've seen the cartoon where the guy's holding a suicide bomber class and he says, "Now watch, I'm only going to do this once."
Yeah. Well, anyway, much ado about nothing at Andrews Air Force Base this morning. KBOY News Time 8:45. Do you need to sell your home fast? Turn to Core Group Realty. Get more with Core. Find them at getmorewithcore.com.
Got a good email here from Curtis. He says, talking about the exercises going on at Andrews Air Force Base. He says, you know, they do this every last Friday of the month at Andrews. You'd think somebody would get the hint.
Yeah, yeah. No active shooter was found. Law enforcement officials said a lockdown on the base has been lifted a little more than an hour after it began. Initial reports of an active shooter at JBA proved to be unfounded, and Dylan Kokolis, a senior airman and public information officer, said the all clear had been given after a search of the base. Reports surfaced after an active shooter drill scheduled for this morning was canceled, and the base was notified of a real-world threat. So that's where the confusion came in. They canceled the drill because of a real threat, and apparently there wasn't one.
Okay.
They were just trying to make the drill more realistic. There were reports of an active shooter incident at Malcolm Grill Medical Facility at approximately 9 o'clock Eastern. The base reported on its Facebook page, personnel on base, shelter in place, as we said.
Mm-hmm.
The base was scheduled to conduct an active shooter exercise. However, reports of a real-world active shooter situation were reported at Malcolm Grill. First responders rushed to the scene to secure the location. Rodney Smith, a patient advocate at the Military Post Medical Facility, said the situation is unfolding at the newer of two buildings at the Malcolm Grill Medical Facility. And then they went on, and then the second tweet came out, all clear, the lockdown on base has been lifted. But it was 2.5 hours,
well,
Chris.
Yeah, and the first thing I think that went through everybody's mind was Fort Hood.
Yep.
And, you know, just hoping it wasn't going to be a situation like that.
2.5 hours.
Where some jerk murders a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, in this case, a major jerk.
Heads are going to roll here, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Investigation ongoing into the report of a real-world active shooter.
But they really don't like to be embarrassed in the press, so somebody will have to answer for that.
Yeah, because it's going to be some lower-ranking person's some plebe.
I'm sure the general will, you know, get after the colonel, and the colonel will get after the major, and the major will get after the captain.
And then the buck will stop about there.
They'll tell two friends. And
The buck will stop at about captain.
Yeah.
Or first lieutenant. Oh,
and the captain has a whole lot of people to yell at.
Yeah. So, anyway, we thought we were going to have an exciting show today, and we're glad we don't. We're glad. Did you see one of the...
Well, don't give it away now. We still might.
I mean, yeah. Well, did you see where one of the bombers in Turkey was Russian?
Strange.
Yeah. Thought it was kind of strange.
But ISIS took credit for that, right?
Yeah, kind of.
What they said, they didn't...
They've taken
They didn't think any of the three of them were Turkish. I heard that yesterday.
Yeah. One was Russian. I don't know where the other two were from. So.
One was Russian, the other were slow.
The other were not Russian much. Coalition airstrikes, good news here, targeted two ISIS convoys leaving Fallujah over the past 2 days, destroying, listen to this, 175 vehicles carrying militants out of the city.
175?
The spokesman for the U.S. coalition said today. Colonel Chris Garver said Iraqi security forces destroyed other vehicles as well. He didn't say how many ISIS militants were killed. Iraqi officials said dozens died. And this is what I heard. A U.S. official said the destroyed vehicles could have carried as many as 250 ISIS fighters.
Mm-hmm. Sounds reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, we always see these videos of these guys driving out in the open, sitting in the back of pickup trucks. That sounds like they got some. Garver said a large group of vehicles was detected gathering in neighborhoods southwest of Fallujah, just west of the Tofaha Bridge. Tuesday night, Iraqi security forces on the ground positively identified the convoy as one belonging to ISIS. Iraqi Air Force and coalition airstrikes attacked the convoy all night and into Wednesday morning.
What was the movie they kept remaking over and over? Was it Bojest?
Yeah,
where they joined the French Foreign Legion.
Yep.
Do you ever wonder if some of the people joining ISIS are the ones that 50 years ago would have joined the French Foreign Legion?
Probably.
Just to be able to be out somewhere.
Soldiers of fortune.
Exactly.
Yeah. The operation required American aircraft because there were a lot of civilians in the area. Well, anyway, good news in the fight against ISIS. KBOI News Time, 8:56. We're going to take a news break, then we'll be back with more Idaho Talks Live.
If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
We are back. KBOI News Time, 9:06. Apparently, they have confirmed. Channel 7 saying they've confirmed the cause of the fire this morning is fireworks.
Really?
Yeah.
No, that's too bad.
I thought maybe there was a lot of lightning out there last night. I was waiting for my wife to get home. She said, wow, you should see the lightning. We're going to have fires in the morning. And so I just assumed it was lightning.
Well, yeah, I did too.
And fireworks. Looked at the hillsides, idiots?
You're not supposed to even transport fireworks into the foothills.
I wouldn't smoke cigarettes up there. I'm not kidding you. The guy that always calls us a cigarette cannot start a fire. Okay, fine. Maybe his lighter would. But anyway, do you believe that a cigarette can't start a fire?
I don't
believe that. He's got proof, though.
There are people who dropped a cigarette and been burned up in their own bedroom. So, it might have been just a coincidence that they dropped a cigarette and somebody came in and started a fire, but I don't think so.
I do.
All right.
People wander around doing that.
Conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Turkey's officials, you probably heard some of this on the news, have strong evidence the Istanbul airport attackers came to the country from the Syrian ISIS stronghold of Raqqa, and that the group's leadership was involved in the planning of the attack, according to a senior Turkish government official. Officials believe the men, identified by another Turkish official and state media as being from Russia, Uzbekistan, and Kyrgyzstan, entered Turkey about a month ago from Raqqa, along with the suicide vests and bombs used in the attack.
So they brought them with them.
Yep. They rented an apartment in the faith district of Istanbul. But if you knew all that, why didn't you go?
Apparently they found out till later.
Yeah.
Right.
One of the attackers left behind his passport, the Turkish government source told CNN. The attack was extremely well planned with ISIS leadership involved, according to the source. And still nobody has claimed responsibility for the airport assault. CNN contributor Michael Weiss, author of ISIS Inside the Army of Terror, said the nationalities revealed Thursday buttressed the claim of ISIS involvement. One of the toughest battalions in ISIS, called the Uzbek Battalion, these were the guys who essentially were on the front lines guarding Fallujah, the city they just lost in Iraq. We told you about the caravan that was blown up and up to 250 ISIS killed. And a bunch of vehicles.
How many cars? They say 125 or 175?
Something like that.
Yeah.
They could carry 250.
Right.
So, however many that is. Somebody took issue with you saying ISIS and the Soldiers of Fortune were the same.
Oh, I didn't say they were the same. I was just wondering if...
Similar in that...
I was wondering, if some of the people that, the young people that get talked into... joining ISIS, Okay, we've got something going on in the newsroom here. Let's go to the newsroom.
Thanks very much. You were talking just a minute ago about fireworks being the cause of the Table Rock fire. That has been confirmed just off the phone with the PIO out there. They're saying, yes, in fact, fireworks the cause of today's fire, which has now burned 1,470 acres in one home.
Do they know who did it or just where it was?
They know where it was, but they didn't indicate that they had any particular suspects in mind. There as much as we would like to see that, probably.
Yeah, there is a reason the foothills are posted as no fireworks areas.
So it appears somebody went up to Table Rock, lit off a bunch of fireworks, and that's what caused the fire.
Hopefully they'll catch them. As long as it wasn't anybody I know. Well, all right, thanks, Rick Worthington, the KBOI newsroom. He'll keep us up to date on the causes and if they find anybody.
Getting back to what we were talking about, the only comparison I was making between Foreign Legion and people joining ISIS is that they have some kind of a wanderlust. They have some kind of a desire to get out of the country, to serve somebody else entirely, just to basically drop out of society and do something like that, like be in a war.
Yeah.
Because even when there was, you know, the French Foreign Legion always seemed to be fighting something, even when there was...
Yeah, there was a romanticism tied to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it was
always the thing of, you know, if you lose a great love, you go and join the French Foreign Legion so you can be away from society for as long as possible.
Yeah.
No, I realize ISIS is a lot different than the French Foreign Legion.
Yeah.
They had
a lot more
completely different ideals.
Yeah. Well, they're on the attack. Mm-hmm. French Foreign Legion were counterpunchers, right? More or less.
Yeah. Well, the French Foreign Legion went after the bad guys.
Yeah. And ISIS.
They are the bad guys.
There you are. So there's a difference.
So differences, similarities, but.
Yeah. But the recruitment, kind of the same. The romantic attachment, the dissatisfaction mm-hmm. with your present state.
Well, what ISIS does, they talk a lot of people into it, you know, in chat rooms and things like that, by telling them that their life means nothing. And if you want it to mean something, and you want to go down in history, this is the
They'll
only way you're going
people,
to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody that's kind of disenfranchised will listen to a message like that.
Yeah.
You know, how can I be looked at by everyone as somebody special, somebody different?
All right, the latest strange thing in Rio de Janeiro, site of the Summer Olympics, another weird happening. When we return... I'm still not sure they're going to get these Olympics off. I'm really not.
The plan is still to hold them.
Yeah, at this point in time.
Right.
But we'll tell you the latest disturbing news out of Brazil. It's 9:13. KBOI News Time, 9:18. KBOI Rewards Code, BEACH.
And why is that, Paul?
BEACH. Talking about the Olympics. Authorities in Brazil said last night, body parts have washed up on the shore of the Rio de Janeiro beach.
Oh, wow.
Where the beach volleyball Olympic event is set to take place. It's called Copacabana Beach. At the
Copacabana.
That's an arm, not a banana. Okay, that's bad.
No, it's all right.
The latest gruesome discovery is another obstacle the city has to grapple with among the laundry list of concerns athletes and fans will have to deal with. The finding was first reported to Brazilian media by a Rio street vendor. The latest breaking news from Raul on the corner. A police officer standing near a security perimeter confirmed the discovery to Reuters. However, it's unclear how the mutilated body wound up on Copacabana Beach.
Well, you have to guess that somebody dumped it into the bay.
I'm guessing tides.
Yeah.
This year's Olympic Games will be played on the South American continent for the first time in its history. And instead of the joyous celebrations that are supposed to be going on, Rio de Janeiro awaiting $892 million in emergency funding.
Wow.
And an attempt to make sure the guests and athletes aren't infected by the Zika virus.
Now there's an emergency.
Or any diseases in the polluted waters, and they are polluted, surrounding the city where some events are set to take place. Not to mention the fact that you're going to get rolled on the street.
Very possibly.
Well, a member of the press who's down there advancing the Olympics got his cell phone and his computer and a bunch of stuff stolen the other day at knife point. He's not happy. Games are also set to take place on the heels of political instability in the country as the Brazilian Senate tries President Dilma Rousseff, who is accused of using accounting tricks in the government budget to determine whether she should leave her post for good. It's basically being impeached. Her impeachment trial is set to end sometime after the Olympics.
So accounting tricks, does that just mean lying?
Yeah, probably financing houses.
It's nothing that would be legitimate.
No. Early this week, Rio's acting governor, Francisco Francisco said the state is still waiting for emergency funding. He warned that the games could end up being a big failure because of budget shortfalls that threaten to compromise security. That's just what you want to hear. And mobility during the games.
We keep hearing all the time, you know, people asking, why did they award these games to Brazil? Why did they award these games to Rio de Janeiro?
And your answer
is? It was 8 years ago, and at the time, Brazil's economy was doing terrific.
So you're saying they bought the Olympics?
Well, they made promises that at the time they would have been able to keep about what they're going to build and how much infrastructure and all sorts of stuff like that. But it slowed way down when the economy tanked.
Yeah. Okay, Acting Governor Francisco Dornelles said this. How are people going to feel protected in a city without security? That in an interview with Rio's O Globo Daily. I'm optimistic about the games, but I have to show reality. We can have a great Olympics, but if some steps aren't taken, it can be a big failure.
Mm-hmm.
Ready for more?
Yeah.
Another worrying issue for Dornelles, the metro line that was meant to be ferry tourists to the main Olympic venue in the far western Rio area of Barra de Tijuca. Promised for late last year, it's still not done. Mm-hmm. A nearly $290 million federal loan aimed at finishing the project has not been released. The discovery of the body parts came on the heels of another bloody weekend in Rio.
Pun.
I came on the heels.
Yeah.
Which saw a police officer who had been serving as a bodyguard and a 34-year-old doctor were killed in muggings gone wrong.
The fact that they exist at all is wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't really have a good mugging.
True. Officer Denilson Teodoro de Souza was shot in the northern Rio neighborhood of Pavuna on Sunday. Listen to this.
Right.
He was the 49th Rio officer killed since the beginning of the year. 49 police.
In 6 months. Wow.
A couple days short.
So they average two dead policemen a week.
Yeah. Ready for more?
Yeah.
On Sunday, Giselle Pajares Govia was shot in the head in her car as she entered one of Rio's main expressways on her way to her home. Her home's in the Barra de Tijuca neighborhood where the Olympics are going to be held.
Mm-hmm.
Asked about Govia's slaying, Dornelles responded, "What a disaster." Heartfelt. The security crisis is very serious.
Well, is he saying?
I would not.
Is he saying too bad for her, or you know, we
too
have
bad for us.
A certain amount of sympathy? No, he's just saying, and another thing to make us look bad.
Yeah, that's why we need the money.
Right.
How much money do you want? $891
million in emergency funds. How much was the original fund?
Okay, let's face it. The Olympics don't make money usually.
No.
They don't. The Russian Olympics, where did they hold them? What was the name of that place?
Well, the
Winter Olympics in Russia. The place is a ghost town now.
Can't think. Well, I mean, they held them once in Moscow, but I'm...
But this was the place up in the mountains. Remember, it was real warm, and they didn't get any snow,
right.
And nobody came to watch. And now the place is completely almost deserted. And it costs millions and millions and millions to construct. People don't even go there in the summer to roast hot dogs.
And let's see. Was that the 2014 games?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I'll look it up and we'll come back.
Okay, it's 9:26.
Live from the Sandler Training Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
All right, we're back. It's 9:36. Could be some interesting pictures today, Chris, of people floating the river while helicopters are dipping water out of the Boise River.
That's a good point. So they haven't stopped people from
from
river floating.
If you
want
to float, you can float.
Hmm.
If you can get to the float kickoff site.
Of course, I guess if there are fires burning, there are worse places than you could be than the middle of a river.
Yeah, I think you're probably pretty safe there. Yeah. All right, we got a phone call. Let's go to Scotty in Middleton. Scotty, good morning.
Good morning. The Copacabana nightclub, that was run by the mob. Anyway, sir, the attack in Turkey.
Yeah.
Mr. Erdogan, about 3 days prior to that, made full diplomatic relations again with Israel. Now, he broke off relations with Israel because of the Gaza flotilla. Yeah, uh-huh. I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago,
yep.
They sent a flotilla into Gaza, and the Israelis had a bit of a dust-up with them. Anyway, Mr. Erdogan is dragging Turkey back into the old ways of the Muslims. Ataturk, that was a name given to the an honor. Anyway, he banned and back in the 1930, he banned the burqa and told them to get back into the Western way of life.
Wow.
Mr. Erdogan, he is bringing in Sharia law and the burqa. And I believe, sir, it was a payback from the people that he's allowing into his country. He's allowing Hezbollah, ISIS. In fact, he's even allowing men to come in from Turkey into Syria to fight against the government forces there. Anyway, hey, listen, have a good day. And if you've got any time, you should read his his memoirs of the man that brought Turkey out of the Muslim way of life into the modern way of life. Anyway, guys, you have a good day and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Scott. Scotty Middleton.
A little of the history of the nation of Turkey.
Mm-hmm. Scary place.
Yeah.
At least to me.
A long time ago, the seat of the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah. I do like to put my feet on an Ottoman now and then.
Imagine an entire empire based on one kind of furniture.
Senator Mike Lee, Utah, did you see what he did?
No.
Mike. Doesn't sound like Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee is going to endorse Donald Trump. Ask why he has held off. Somebody ask him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Say, Senator Lee, why is it that you haven't jumped on the Trump bandwagon? That was asked, and he went on an extended rant that included Trump's attacks on GOP rival Ted Cruz, Lee's best friend, as well as the presumptive GOP nominee's criticism of Muslims, a big issue in the largely Mormon state of Utah. Didn't know that. I mean, if we can get into the fact that he accused my best friend's father of conspiring to kill JFK, Lee told Newsmax Steve Malzberg when asked about the lack of a Trump endorsement. We can go through with the fact that he's made some statements that some have identified correctly as religiously intolerant. We can get into the fact that he is so unpopular because my state consists of members who were a religious minority church, a people who were ordered exterminated by the governor of Missouri in 1839, and statements like that make Mormons nervous. He concluded by telling his host, "Don't sit here and tell me, Steve, that I have no reason to be concerned about Donald Trump." That'd be an interesting poll, wouldn't it, how Mormons feel about Donald Trump.
But you said he has been endorsed by him now?
No.
Oh, still?
No.
Okay.
No.
I thought that was the reason for the announcement.
No. Well, he was asked during an interview, why haven't you endorsed him? Are you going to? And he went, "I haven't, and I'm not gonna," basically.
You know, an endorsement at this point doesn't mean a lot simply because...
Yeah, the Haysner Barn.
Simply because, you know, people know if you're a Republican or a Democrat, or they know what you've declared yourself to be.
Sure.
And if you're a Democrat, you don't have to endorse Hillary Clinton. You can if you want. If you're a Republican, you don't have to endorse Donald Trump. You can if you want. But people will assume that that's who you're for anyway.
Yeah. Fox News poll, 84% of people are afraid of the kinds of attacks that happened in the Turkish airport happening here. They're nervous about the nation's ability to prevent terror attacks.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm kind of nervous
anybody
about
would
that.
Be. Anybody would be, because it's not like they send a letter to Washington, D.C. and say, "Okay, here's what we're planning for next Thursday."
Yeah.
They don't. It's always a sneak attack and always a surprise.
It's a
soft target and in a place that quite often doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Now, what...
Except they can kill unarmed people.
What Scotty was talking about when he called is that Turkey and Israel are starting to... have talks and things like that. And undoubtedly, there are people, especially in ISIS, who don't like that.
Yep.
Because they don't like anything Israel does.
And ISIS tends to step up and let their feelings be known.
Yeah, they're not shy.
No. Let's go to Jim in Meridian. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Ancillary to your topic, but related. Friday, you guys were talking about the no-fly, no-buy thing, and you had a gentleman that called that had talked about that no-fly list and what it takes to get on there. And, hey, I'm part of the 84% that believes we very definitely could have an attack like that here any time. But on the American side of that, when people were talking about if somebody's on the no-fly list, for example, they shouldn't be able to buy a weapon. Well, getting on that no-fly list requires one mouse click of a bureaucrat in somebody's office.
Wow.
Following up on something somewhere that somebody did. I have a very common name, and when the no-fly list first came out after 9/11, for 5 years, it was impossible for me to ever check in for a flight online. It was impossible for me to ever use the kiosk at the airport. I had to go physically hand my passport to someone to validate that my birth date was not the same as the bad guy with my name. And I don't know what would have happened if my birth date was the same. On international flights, one time I had six legs of a flight, three legs each way. Five of those six, I was randomly selected for.
Gee, what a coincidence.
Five out of six?
Randomly, five out of six with 300 people on the plane.
Doesn't sound all that random, does it?
Yeah, and then on one of those trips, not the one where I got pulled out five times, I had a layover in Amsterdam, and seven different people fondled my passport at various times and passed it around, and then at that stop and the next stop they said, "Have you been having trouble getting through security?" And that's, you know, that's a person with a spotless background. So yeah, we don't want these things in here, but this whole idea of you know, no fly, no buy. If you're on a list, all of a sudden you've lost all of your rights to, you know, buy a weapon, carry a weapon, all those things. That's a way over the top thing. And I'm sure you've seen the pictures on Facebook of the people having their sit-in for gun control. And it turns out 26 of them were gun owners, and they were all doing it in a building protected by armed guards.
Yeah.
You know. So,
yeah, go
anyhow,
figure, huh? Yes, how did you get off the list?
That is one of the mysteries of the universe. I found a website. I filled out a form. I sent it in with my copies of my passport, driver's license, and something else, maybe even a birth certificate. And I got a letter back that said, yep, we verify that you are not a terrorist, essentially, that's kind of paraphrasing. And you can carry this letter with you to check in at the airport.
It
didn't accomplish anything. I found out with one of the airlines, if I listed my first name if in the first name field, I included both my first and my middle name, I could check in. So I cracked the code on Southwest a couple years before the rest of them. But that didn't work with the rest of them. And finally, somebody eventually somewhere just figured out a way to be a little more accurate with that list and not just a shotgun blast at everybody with that name. So my friend John Smith and I were actually able to get on airplane. And I'm not kidding. A guy named John Smith travels the same place as I do. So, you know, it's not all that easy to just say, okay, take that list, take away all their Second Amendment rights, et cetera. You know, we want to stop the bad guys, but you don't, you know, that whole thing about that, the slippery slope of take away a right to gain security. It's for real.
Yeah. And the guy we talked to on Friday, took him 7 years to get on.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I first started flying that right after 9/11. I remember spending 2 hours in the Boise airport waiting in the security line. December of 2001. But I don't know the time. It may have been 7 years. Time flies. Yeah. But yeah. Gosh, it's for a real thing. Well, I guess I just said something funny. Time flies.
Yeah.
I couldn't. Yeah. So
yeah.
Okay. Keep up the good work,
thanks.
Guys.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I like that. Time flies. I couldn't. KBOI News Time, 9:48. 9:52, Paul, Jay, and Chris on a Thursday. Open phones Friday, by the way, manana.
Want to tell you real quickly about this. 670 KBOI wants you to enjoy some of the best food in Boise on us. Go to KBOI.com right now to enter our Capital Sellers Contest for your chance at a $50 gift card.
Capital Cellars on 5th Street in downtown Boise in the Belgravia building is a great place for breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Great breakfast and a good place for breakfast meetings with quiche, steel cutouts, scones, and muffins, and more.
Wide variety of coffee that has to be seen to believed, and sandwiches and soups for lunch.
Burgers, fish, and prime rib are all available for dinner. It's a very fine dining place. We will draw a winner every Friday for the $50 gift card to Capital Cellars. Last week's winner was Carol Carlson of Nampa. Congratulations, Carol. You have 2 more weeks to win, so make sure you get your entry in today.
You can enter early, enter often, but you got to do it quickly because, what, we got like 7-8 days left in the thing, 2 more weekends.
Instant message from HG of McCall, who says, I hope they find whoever started the Table Rock fire and find them so they pay for everything.
You?
So sorry to the folks who lost their home. Perhaps this fireworks started fire early will warn people to not shoot off fireworks in the foothills.
Well, it'll be a big reminder with that big black Table Rock looming above the city. That's absolutely amazing.
Fun.
Yeah. So, anyway, Nancy Grace is leaving. Did you see that?
She's leaving Headline News.
Yeah.
Okay.
This fall, I'll be leaving HLN, my longtime home, with a full heart and endless gratitude. Grace said in a statement on Thursday, the network has been my extended family for 12 years. I'm proud of the amazing work we produce together. She's the host of one of HLN's most popular shows. I find her hard to watch. We created an unparalleled platform that gave crime victims a voice and succeeded in finding missing people.
And, but she always kind of takes the attitude that if you're accused of something, you're guilty.
And parodies of her have been in hundreds of movies, it seems like.
Damon has written in to say, if you can't get on a plane, you shouldn't be able to buy a gun, the bizarre and popular mantra goes. I wonder when we'll start extending this to other disconnected things. If you can't drive a car, you shouldn't be able to practice religion. If you can't procure a liquor license, you shouldn't be able to assemble peacefully, etc. See how this works? Take something we don't have a constitutional right to do, planes, for instance, and tie it to something we do have a constitutional right to do, say guns, and without probable cause, due process, or the right of redress, they've erased a right by conflating it with a privilege. You've allowed the government to prevent you from exercising a right with the same ease it can prevent you from exercising a privilege. And once you've done this, the process will not stop until there is no discernible legal distinction between a right and a privilege.
Wow. Makes some points, though. I'm glad I'm not on that list.
It's easy to find the list of rights because, as you said, it's right there in the Constitution.
Yep. Well, Bones Friday tomorrow, something to think about with Mike Rogers up next, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Check them out on the World Wide Web at boisechurch.org.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
For hundreds of years, world leaders talked about building a Panama Canal. In the 1500s, Roman and Spanish kings began discussions to bridge the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. Thomas Jefferson mentioned it in 1788. In the late 1800s, it was tried for decades, first by the French, then the Americans. Opening in 1914, it was a monumental task, to say the least. 5,000 people died building it. It cost $9 billion in today's dollars. Last week, the Panama Canal celebrated the opening of a massive expansion. The $5.4 billion expansion took nearly 10 years and 40,000 workers. The new locks allows massive ships carrying up to 14,000 containers, more trading dollars, and more shipping activity in ports across America. President Teddy Roosevelt said those working on it have made not only America, but the whole world their debtors by what they have accomplished. It's amazing what America can do when we put our mind to it. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.